Good afternoon. Rabbi Berman can attest that originally this was not the topic that I was invited to lecture on at this retreat. I'll say honestly, I don't think I'm the biggest expert to discuss this topic. I'm sure that others can give you a better perspective. Highly recommended Rabbi Zev Weichmann, who's in charge of the Shemitah desk at the Israeli Chief Rabbinate. I do have some acquaintance with the topic due to the fact that I am Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva the Kibbutz Adati. Even though my job really is in learning the Beit Medrash with the boys who have nothing to do with the Kibbutz Adati, most of our students are not from the Kibbutzim, but I am involved to some extent with the dialogue with the Maskal, the head of the Kibbutz Adati, and with the Rabboni with the Kibbutz Adati, and the Yeshiva is the platform where the Rabbanim are using in order to dialogue with each other and to try to make a policy of how to prepare for Shemitah, and I will try to bring you that perspective. But I also feel, since I'm from Eretz Yisrael, that I'm like a shliach to bring you the Israeli perspective, which I can tell you is very different in many issues. I'm sitting here in the discussions and I'm amazed by the challenges you guys are facing, the questions you have to deal with. On the other hand, I will not make it only a peephole. What's happening there? Because Shemitah has nothing to do with America. I visited my brother in Muncie on Motzei Shabbos, and I said, Shemitah, it seemed like I was talking about some Hilchos of the Mashiach. Okay, there's a problem with the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. I do think that the questions which the Kashrut system in Israel is facing, the different approaches for how to deal with Shemitah, do reflect fundamental questions regarding Kashrut in general, which you may be facing here in America, relating to all the areas of Kashrut. And therefore, I hope that I will be able basically to conceptualize the questions, and perhaps from Kashrut, we'll be able to crystallize a few questions, which I think may be of interest to all of us. Now, the Torah already said you have to prepare for Shemitah. Korva Shnas HaSheva, when the major question that the Torah relates is, Manu Chal Bashana Shvi'it, Hein Lo Nizra V'lo Nesof Et Tvuateinu. The truth is, that question does not bother us anymore. Manu Chal Bashana Shvi'it, all the wheat in Israel is imported from abroad. It is. All the sugar is imported from abroad. I'll tell you more than that. 20%. What goes in the play of an Israeli person is grown in Israel. Milk products, potatoes, vegetables. Everything else is imported from abroad for various reasons. If you wonder how do I know all this, I'll tell you. Since I took the invitation very seriously, Rabbi Berman, so I tried to study this subject on Tu Bishvat, which was in Shabbos this year. So on the Gimel Bishvat, there was a big conference, Yom Iyun, as we call it in Israel, of Machon HaTorah V'Aretz, where I participated in order to prepare for this lecture. And the statistics I'm giving you, the numbers are from people from the Israeli Agriculture Ministry, who are, I hope they have the right data. What was told us by a guy named Chaim Saban, who is an expert on economic planning, is that only 20% of the products are grown in Israel for various reasons, which I'm sure you're aware of. Labor is high, the wages are high, it's much cheaper to grow in China. Water is very expensive in Israel, and therefore today Israeli agriculture is more involved in exporting not agriculture products, but farmers, meaning knowledge, high-tech. Israelis are experts on watering and many other issues, but agriculture doesn't have such a large part in Israeli economy anymore. There's no real threat on what am I going to eat next year. Still, the question, Korva Shnas HaSheva, is a question which very much involves the Israeli Kashrut system. And the different approach is one of the major, I think, differences today between the Badat, so-called Haredi Kashrut systems in Israel, and the Tzioni Dati, Rabbanut, I'm sure you're familiar with the term, relate to Shemitah. From my impression, and correct me if I'm wrong, here in the United States, I think one of the major differences is Yoshin. You go to Muncie, you can't buy Chodesh, even if you want to. And here, even though you should know, the whole retreat is Yashin. I don't know how many of you cared about it or asked about it. I'll talk about that later. Why is the caterer Yashin if nobody in the retreat cares about it? I'll talk about it. Because the Hechsher has to be for everybody. I mean, he's not going to give you the Dafka Chodesh for this retreat because you're modern Orthodox. But if your yeshiva is attacked, you can say that's Yashin. When we make a Shabbaton for YKD, we make it Yashin because of me, my family, Mishigas. So I tell our recruiter, tell people we're very firm, we keep Yashin. But if Yashin here is one of the major differences between if you're Haredi or not Haredi, in Eretz Yisrael, one of the major differences is your approach to kashrus. To Shemitah. And the major machlokes is regarding the Heter Mechira. And what I find very fascinating is that definitely that what happened 3 or 4 Shemitahs ago, when I was a kid, my first Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael was 1973. And I remember what my father was doing for Shemitah. Then it was clear that the Dati Lumi camp is Heter Mechira. Rafi Yudha Cook taught his Talmidim, you have to eat a L'chatchila. Today there are voices opposing Heter Mechira within the Dati Lumi camp too. Berosham, I will describe to you later their policy, maybe their dissonance, perhaps they're in Machon HaTorah V'Aretz, which used to operate in Kfar Darom. The head of the Machon, the president, is Rav Yaakov Ariel from Ramat Gan. It's run mostly by people who are from the base Medrash of Merkaz HaRav, who are inspired by the Psokim of Rav Avrom Shapira and Rav Ariel. And they are preparing for Shemitah too in a way that would not be based upon Heter Mechira. But the reasons they're opposed to the Heter Mechira are totally different reasons than those of the Haredim. I think it should be of interest to try to, through Shemitah, to be aware of how do I approach kashrus in general. I would add to the numbers I gave you before that there's no more question of manu chal bashana shvi'it. I'll add more than that. The major question today is not the way the Torah said it, Hein lo nizra, the question is really of the farmers. Even here, I mean, can Israeli agriculture go through a year without growing agricultural products? Now, even here, the numbers seem that we can get along without it. Agriculture today is 1.4% of the Israeli GNP. And in the working power, only 1.6 of employees are working in agriculture. Now in a society with 11% of unemployment, 1.6 of the workforce in agriculture means somehow you can get along without it. And you can get them coilo suspended. They can kavyochol, you can get along without it. And I'm saying not only kavyochol, the chara you can. The problem with percentages is that they lie, because when we translate it into numbers, 1.4 of the GNP is 20 billion shekel. Is a lot or a little? Translating to dollars, now since the dollar is pretty low, it's 4.25. It used to be 4.9. So it's more dollars than it was last year. But just translating into dollars, and I'm taking off now those with no Shemitah problems, which is all the milk products, which Israel is an empire in milk products. If you take the problematic, how do you say, enough? Maddie, help me. Area. It's still 10 billion shekel. 10 billion shekel is around $2.2 billion. Well, that's a lot of money. 1.6 of the workforce in percentages is very low. But the mice is 67,000 people to support families. The numbers that I've heard are the 20,000 farmers who have people who work for them, but altogether 67,000 people. And we have to realize that in the era of globalization, where most of the Israeli products are exported, and they go to the market, 1 year out of the market means you lose your market. If I could just bring you an example to clarify it, Farmers who lived in Gush Katif, which had markets in Europe, they considered high-tech agriculture, even though some of them, many of them are not yet back into work, but some of them that are, they have great difficulty in getting back into the market. I'll just give you a little thing. I like to buy Gush Katif products, the so-called Gush Katif products from Hasalat. I also have personal ties in Kfar Darom. My wife used to live in Kfar Darom, and we feel very attached to the people there. I know them by name. And when I go to the supermarket, I can't find their product. They sell from some other company. I've asked the person in charge there. He said that after Gush Katif was evacuated, we lost the market, and the agreements with the supermarkets are signed for a few years, and it'll take me a few years to get back in. So we have the assumption today of those in charge of planning, the economic planning, is that we can get along without the food, meaning mano chal bashana shvi'it. The answer is we'll have what to eat, but agriculture will collapse. Now Israeli society has to decide, do you want a country with no agriculture? Do you want a country which imports all its food products? Is that, it's not only an economic question, but that itself is an important question. It's also a question of value. Is it not possible to be a Oved Adama in Eretz Yisrael these days? But still, I would say, this is an old known question, and there were three basic approaches to the problem of the farmers, which, as you all know, raised first in the end of the 19th century. One approach, which my brother in Muncie has suggested, which is a very nice approach when you learn in Muncie, says, Gibore Koyach! And I want to tell you, and I know a lot of farmers to be, because of my work in yeshiva, even those who are Samech and all these Eterim, I'll discuss it briefly, they're also a Gibore Koyach. It doesn't mean a Gibore Koyach is only if you don't do anything, if you get a Kollel scholarship for 1 year. In the Pai Moshavim, they do that, but the numbers are almost zero. You could be a Gibore Koyach when you have an Oitza Beis Din and when you're ready to sacrifice many things. And Gibore Koyach should not be only for those who take the most radical approach. But that approach is not practical for what I've described before. And within the Poiskim, there were mostly two approaches in the past. One was the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, from what I know, I do not consider myself an expert, but from what I've learned, Chazon Ish, not only in Hilchos Drachim, but also in Hilchos Shabbos, the Chazon Ish did have a very practical approach, and the Chazon Ish in Pesach was very much into enabling to run our lives, al pi halacha, modern lives. I'm sure you guys are familiar with the works of Benny Brown and the Chazon Ish. If you're not, so I highly recommend. He works at Beit Morasha in Hebrew University. Very learned person, very bright. And the Chazon Ish, when he gave Pesach, did not only think abstractly. The Chazon Ish was very much bothered by what happens to Lamaise. And there are a lot of kulas which the Chazon Ish has in different areas. And in the area of Hilchos Drachim, the Chazon Ish, who guided the Pai farmers, gave an awful lot of kulas when his basic approach was to avoid the Heter Mechira, but yet to not to say to them, don't do anything, to find certain ways to do so. Rav Kook has taken the other approach, and that is using the Heter Mechira, which basically avoids Shemitah. If Eretz Yisrael is owned by Goyim, and we assume that since Shvi'is Bazman is a Drabanon, and therefore yes, being a Le'akom by Eretz Yisrael, so there's no Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, so Eretz Yisrael is like Tarytown, no. Not like Tarytown, but there's no Shemitah. And that was Rav Kook's Heter. When there are a few reservations about that Heter. If we ask ourselves, those who were opposed to Rav Kook's Heter, what bothered them? So one was halachic considerations. Is it valid? Yesh kinyan, en kinyan. Today there's almost no machlokes that yesh kinyan. But if you read the first debate in Shemitah of Tarmah, they were still confused if Shemitah was not a Zidrabon on the Raisa and the Rambam. And there were doubts. Does it work? I can add a second type of opposition to the Heter. Is it done properly? At that Yom Yun of Machonot Torah V'aretz came a Jew from Immanuel who was giving out pamphlets against the Heter Mechira. When his major taina was, there's no Gemiras Das. It's everybody knows it's Haroma, it's a joke. Okay, you can start debating Haroma by Mechiras Chometz, yes, and by this, no. I could ask you more questions. Rav Zev Weizmann, who, as I mentioned before, is in charge today of the Shemitah desk in the Israeli Chief Rabbinate, as lately in the lecture which he gave on preparations to Shemitah, he told that according to Israeli law, you're not allowed to sell the land to a non-Jew. I'll say more than that. Land is not owned, my land and my house is not owned by me. It's Admot Medina. It's owned by Minhal Mekarkei Israel. And by law, if you will take the contract of Heter Mechira and you will go to Israeli legal court and ask them to approve the contract, it won't be legal. So what did Rav Druckman do when he was a Chaver Knesset in 1980? He passed a law, you cannot sell their land of Eretz Yisrael unless it's done for Heter Mechira. Everybody realizes that it's a joke. Yes, please.
Does it matter if it's not valid in secular law? I've heard, I'm not a legal expert, but I've heard people say that the supermarket would sell their chametz if they continue to sell during Pesach. If you took it to an American court, it also wouldn't stand.
Not
everything in halacha necessarily. Right. What it said to me is not everything in halacha necessarily needs to apply
It's a good question. I will tell you just a story about Rav Weizmann. Rav Weizmann was exposed to Shemitah. Rav Weizmann was my 11th grade teacher for Tanakh. He was exposed to the Shemitah through his rabbinate in Kfar Etzion, which is a kibbutz in Gush Etzion. His first year there in the rabbinate, he was bothered by Mechiras Chometz. He told the members of the kibbutz, this is a joke. Let's make it serious. So instead of going through the Heter Mechira of the Rabbanut, which they sell all the Chometz of the Medina to a goy from Abu Ghosh, he found his own Arab from Gush Etzion. And he told them, since he may be Tom, I don't know why he was bothered by Tom, but in the mixture, maybe there's some band there, let's collect all the electrical appliances from the kitchens in Kfar Etzion, and we'll sell them, we'll put them in some machzan, and we'll make a real document that a lawyer would approve. Sounds nice, right? Cholamoy Pesach, the Arab came with a truck, loaded all the mixtures in Kfar Etzion, and disappeared. So on the one hand, he wasn't fired. Everybody in the kibbutz was upset. The other hand, Weizmann was happy because he proved that it's for real. But can you imagine Heter Mechira of Eretz Yisrael being for real? I mean, there are questions. I'm just sharing these thoughts with you. Rav Weizmann, who's in charge of it, has those questions. And what he's striving at now is making a Heter Mechira that will be for real. I hope that what happened to him with the mixers will not happen to him with Eretz Yisrael. But you have to realize the questions can be, do I think it's Matir Shemitah or not, but the question can also be, is it implemented properly? Is it really solved? I mean, Rav Weizmann has mentioned in that lecture that a week before Shemitah, they were busy, they realized that they didn't do it properly. They told people, just fax a letter to a certain number, just sign. Meaning, it has to be done seriously, and he's a serious man, as you realize. Just please, there'll be
something. Yeah, and just to mention what Rav Weizmann said, that in the 19th century, someone went to the government and showed that they made a Jewish comment that was not legal. And the government said, well, who cares, it's not a real material anyway. And that's also the big opera and the discussion.
They didn't get a contract. They didn't get a contract stamp.
Is that what it was? Yeah. So that debate, And I think ultimately they concluded that it's a valid material precisely what you said, as long as the halacha recognizes it.
With your permission, since we would like to discuss more the title of the shiur, the policy and ideology, I would rather not open a discussion here, really, is good or bad. My flight is 11:30, you can go with me to Kennedy and we could talk it all over and later on through email, okay? But let's try to focus on the topic that we have chosen. Here, I think we face the first question, which in Eretz Yisrael we face in Shemitah. You may face it here in America over other issues. The consumer has no farm, and he doesn't have any problems with his jobs. We can supply the demand for consumers on their plates, but no problem. I'll just add to numbers, the estimate is that 14% of Israeli households want a Shemitah without Heter Mechira, meaning that they care about it. Israel can supply the demand. There's no problem with that. And here come the Haredi Hechsherim, and they say, I want the best possible Hechsher. And what's the best possible Hechsher? No machlokes. I mean, if you try to ask yourself, what's Mahadrin? What's a good question, but Since there's machlek, it's etta mechira yes, etta mechira no. Maybe good, maybe no good. Why should I eat from it? It's much better to eat something which is more acceptable. And here, I think one of the major questions that arise here, which, as I'm saying, maybe may rise in other occasions, is what do I, as a consumer, have to take to account? When I go into the supermarket, what do I have to think about when I choose a hechsher? If I think about myself, I want super-duper hechsher. I want the best possible hechsher. Heta mechira, in my eyes, is not high quality because it's questionable. There's machlokes. Machlokes is equal and by charedi to questionable. I'm not sure it's rightfully so, but that's the way I understand the way they view it. So when I take it off the shelf and I bring it into my kitchen, there's only one thing I want to know. Is it the best possible product or not? And since Heta mechira is considered second class, second rate, why should I buy it? Why should I give it a hechsher? But the farmer will collapse if there's no heter mechira. Now, when I, as a consumer, buy my food, do I have to think only of myself, or do I also have to think of him? Do I have to be responsible for him? Do I need some type of arevus when I make my decision what to buy, because I know that he needs it? Now, I would say that is not the only question here. I would also add that it also depends upon your perspective. Look, I was brought up in a home by my father and mother where they never denied the validity of the Heta Mechira, and they said that we understand the farmers have to do it, but why should I buy it? I want the best possible Heta. I remember my father in Sichot and the Yeshiva and various Shmitas attacking Rav Tzvi Yehuda's approach that you have to buy Heta Mechira because you have to show that it's valid and you have to show support for the farmers. Well, say in another way, nobody will buy the products from the farmer who uses Heta Mechira, so Heta Mechira doesn't do anything. On the other hand, let's be honest, there are enough Jews that don't care about it, meaning Lemaise, there is an ability to do Heta Mechira for the farmers, and still, you'll be somebody who will buy it, and I can be Machmir. But you do raise a very fundamental question, and that is, which perspective do I need? I can tell you that in my home for years, we have not bought Heta Mechira. My first year in Yeshiva was a Shemitah year, Tav Shein Nun Dalet. And I went to the dining room thinking, what am I going to do? And being from where I came from, I won't eat Heta Mechira. That's you must be crazy. The people here do Heta Mechira because otherwise they will collapse economically. You're not going to eat the tomato? I mean, what iser can there be in eating the tomato? And it really depends a lot upon your perspective. I can tell you more than that. In that conference on Shemitah, I will describe later their policy and why they're doing it. I'll just mention at this part of the discussion that, as I've mentioned before, Machon HaTorah V'Aretz, which are not Haredim, they're from the Merkaz Arab circles, want to supply to supermarkets vegetables which do not depend upon Heta Mechira. And at the Kenneth there got up the Rabbi of Masuot Yitzchak, a friend of mine, Rav Meir Norai, and he said, I can't understand, what do you want from me? He says, look, I'm the Rabbi of the Moshav, Masuot Yitzchak. It's right next to our yeshiva. He says, no, look, he says, we have what's so-called Gadash. Gadash is Gidulei Sadeh, or known as Falcha. There's no way out besides Heta Mechira. He says, I have to do Heta Mechira to enable them to work. But in the Makolet, you want me to buy food from you, which does not have any Heta Mechira. Now he says, how in the world can I do that? And I'll say it differently. If I raised the question before, does the consumer in the supermarket care about the farmer? The farmer can be the consumer, meaning you can be both. Now you can reach this paradox that at work you do this, and at home you do this, but everybody understands it's olam afuch, you know, it's tachtonim lamala, yonim lamata, you know, that if Masoot Yitzchak, they won't eat from Heta Mechira, but they'll be over the sadas. There's something which is confusing here, but at this point I would just raise that question, and that is, what perspective, who do you think of? What, are you a consumer, are you a farmer, do you care about the other people, do you say, all I care about myself? Now we all know that the major policy of the Haredi world in general, but definitely in kashrus, is we worry for unzer. We care about ourselves. We want the best possible products. We don't care how Tnuva will get them, etc. Even though there are times they cross the lines. There are such times. I'm not a sociologist, but I could just share with you as I see it as a layman. Partially, the growth of the Haredi community, they're getting more involved in politics, gets them more involved in policy, and they're more involved in issues which do not relate only to Umei Ashorim Geula. And eventually, it goes into your ideology too. A few years ago, I'm telling you a story again I heard from Rabbi Weizmann. Rosh Hashanah was Thursday, Friday. Now, the whole issue of milking cows on Shabbos and Yom Tov is not to be open here. I'll just say that no matter how you solve that problem, when after you milk, after you get the milk, you have to put it, you keep, it has to be refrigerated. Now, in every refet, I don't know the words in English, so
barn,
okay, you have this huge mechal container, which is refrigerated, but they cannot hold milk from 72 hours of milking. And Tnuva that year approached Rav Weizmann, who was Rabbi of Tnuva, the head of Tnuva, the CEO of Tnuva, and he said to him, whatever you'll tell me, I'll do. It's the first time in the history of Tnuva that he said, whatever the kosher system says, I will do. And they were searching for solutions, and the one solution they came up was that on Friday, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, this is Yom Tov Sheni, that a She'eno Yehudi should drive the milk to the center in the Tnuva dairy at Tel Yosef, and it will go only into the non-Mahadrin line, meaning nobody in Geula would drink it, and this way they would save the milk. And everything was settled down besides one person who decided to put his foot down. His name is Rav Yashiv. Big Tom Chacham. I'll say Afarani Tachat Kapot Ragla, but I don't understand him. I'm not on this, I'm not on many. Rav Yashiv opposed. And the Haredi community threatened to ban all Tnuva products if they do that. Even though I want to remind you, they would not drink it. And eventually, because of that ban, Tnuva gave in. And no many liters of milk was spilled by the Rosh Hashanah. You know? Yes. 6 million. Now, if a milk bag is sold for in Israel now, it depends where you buy. In the Haredi supermarket, it's cheaper. It costs around 420 shekalim. It's around a dollar. That is $6 million. Okay? So the garbage can, that's already crossing a line. That's not saying I care only about myself. I'm going to impose upon you my kosher standards. And that's, I'm saying, maybe a reflection of they're getting more involved in setting standards, but mostly their hashkafat olam is, I worry for myself, I want the best, let the farmers go to hell me. I don't care about them. I'm going to make sure that my chevra eat the better food. So this is one major question which Shmita raises. There's another question which you cannot ignore. Yes, please.
But isn't it an illusion? I mean, at least from my learning,
I'm going to get there soon, okay? Rav Nadi. The second question is, okay, I decided not to use Heter Mechir. What do I use? So I can tell you what they're aiming at, okay? First aim is the best. As much as possible from Shishis. But in order to expand Shishis, you have to use a few coolers. That if it's Mizra b'shishis, even though it's grown b'shvis, it's considered already shishis, that's one policy. It's not Shemitah products, but even there are coolers involved. They shouldn't fool themselves that it's all shishis. Second possibility is so-called in Hebrew matzah menutak, the growing on tables, which also assumes that Shvi'is Bazman is the Drabonon, and it also depends upon some machlokes, meaning you'll never avoid a machlokes. You can't fool yourself. Heter Mechir is a machlokes, it also has a machlokes. You may have a different type of machlokes, you have to analyze it.
Grown on tables means also like hydroponics?
I'm not familiar with the English term.
It's not in the soil.
Not in the soil. It's like Ati Tsenu Naku. It's Ati Tsenu Naku. Okay? Eretz Yisrael shrinks when it comes to Shemitah. Bichlal, Mitzvah Satlius Barat, the so-called Aravadromi, We go by Gvul of Yotzei Ole Bovel. You know, in Kfar Maimon, which you know where that is, not far from Netivot, not far from Aza, the Mafrish to Mr. Meister is a lot of bracha because it's Safek Gvul Yotzei Mitzrayim. And here you have some very interesting dissonance. When it comes to Mitzvah Tlis Baritz, you want Eretz Yisrael to be as small as possible. When it comes to my Tionish aspirations, or Yontov Sheinish Goliath, okay? All of you hate it too, Mr. Tama. Mostly when you go there, right? It's the worst thing to do, Yontov Sheinish in Yerushalayim. I won't ask what you guys do, but I know how many Americans don't keep it, okay? I meet them. They own an apartment in Baca, whatever, and that's enough. I can tell you that nobody in Eilat keeps Yom Tov Sheni, but Vishmita and Geula, they sell food from Eilat. Now, is that a Kula, a Chumrah? I don't know. They're going to try. The next priority is non-Jewish agriculture in Israel, owned by non-Jews, that exists too. That has a Mechira. Chutz La'aretz and Palestinians. Now, the amount of agriculture in the by the Palestinians has gone down drastically because since we have tried to make peace with them, their life is worse. And I'm not talking politics, I'm just talking economics. And there's much less to buy from them. But here too, you will hear the question, and here I'm raising the second question. I'm sure Rabbi Berman will talk about it in the panel too. Discussing Heter Mechira, it's a chumrah not to buy Heter Mechira. But who says to buy from Palestinians is better or worse? When I say better or worse, I'm going to raise the two questions which I hear in public being mentioned. I'm not taking a stand there. I don't know what your positions are. One is, even there halachically there are questions which you can raise. I mentioned before. To decide our Arvad Romit is not Eretz Yisrael, that has to be explored. Who says that the discussion here is better off than Heter Mechira? But also some people involved what I call ideology. Like in the Mechon HaTorah Aris Kenes, they said, we're going to buy nothing from Arabs because we're in a war with them. We don't support our enemies. Now, is that a shikul? Not a shikul? Is that a halachic consideration? It's not. It's worth to think about it, at least. I raised another two questions. One is, I think of myself, but I think of others. The other question is, what's a chumrah? What's a kula? I always tell my talmidim in yeshiva that learning is like a chess board. There are many pieces on it, and you move them. But unlike in a chess game, you know who's the king, who's the queen, who's the pawn. In learning or in halachic decision, you don't know. You decide who it is. And therefore, ideology is involved. Even though we were told all the time by our rabbeim, Rosh Yeshiva, that halacha has nothing to do with the ideological machlokes, you cannot deny there are certain areas where it has to be involved. And this is one of the most clearest ones that it's involved. Now, from the Haredi world, with your permission, I would like to take you to the opposition to Heter Mechira within the Tati Lumi world, which opposes Heter Mechira from totally different reasons than the Haredim. They don't oppose it because we don't care about the farmers. They don't oppose it because all I care is what goes in my plate, in my kitchen, in Yerushalayim or in Beitar. They oppose it because they feel that the Heter Mechira cancels Shemitah, and they want to implement Shemitah. They don't think the Heter Mechira is Shmira Shemitah, the same way, allow me to say, that buying from Chutz La'aretz is not keeping Shemitah, it's avoiding Shemitah. The time of Rabin in Eretz Yisrael, they were busy paving the so-called Kvish Okef. Kvish Okef means not to deal with the problem, it's to go around it. And I would like to share with you, recommend you highly to read one of the most moving pieces I've read about Shemitah or Bichlal that my father had published during his first Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. It's called Hirurei Shemitah, Thoughts About Shemitah. It was published in Alon Shvut, which is then a little choveret, you know, he was then at the time 40, living in America most of his life, meeting his first Shemitah, and being very, very disappointed. He was expecting, who knows what, you also took him in the Torah, Va'itza Shabbat Ha'aretz Lachem Lo'ochla, V'achlu Avyonei Amecha. He had this great idea, like Shabbos. And suddenly he comes, and what is Shemitah? Shemitah is the Lo'chshash Shemitah. That is Shemitah. If you will see the Echsherim in Eretz Yisrael, you have Lo'chshash Tevel, which I think is an Isser, the lo chashash orlo, which is an ether, and the lo chashash shvis. Now, I would like to explain. Lo chashash shvis usually means the lo heter mechira. It doesn't mean the lo chashash shvis. I mean, heter mechira can also be the lo chashash shvis, according to Gdolei Olam. But usually it means the lo chashash shvis that you just avoided shvis, or I'll say in the following way. Shvis is avoided by all these heter. Just you make it not existent in your life. You make your life in Israel like your life in America. And Shviz is an Easter. And the opposition to Heter Mechira, the opposition to what I've described before is because they say out loud, we care about the farmers. We want Shemitah as a positive concept, not as a negative. And this goes back, and soon I'll add a little more, Rabbi Sachar, to what you discussed yesterday. They don't want kashrus only to be what's usher. They see kashrus differently through Shemitah. It has to be a meaningful experience, not only something which I avoid. I would say more than that. If I avoid it, it means I meet in the supermarket. That's where I meet Shemitah. I just know what not to buy that year. But they say, I want Shemitah to be something positive. And here the main dabar of this approach is Rav Weizmann. And here they came up with the Yotza Basin, which is mentioned before by Rav Nadi. The idea is, I'll give you the information very shortly. The idea is that since the Torah said you're not allowed to work your own fields in Shemitah, it should become Hefker, but you should make some order. We don't want chaos on Shemitah. And therefore, the Beis Din, for non-profitable reasons, will organize the farmers, they'll collect the fruit, and they'll distribute it. When the Otzer Beis Din is presented today by the Tzioni Dati leaders, Machon HaTorah V'Aretz, Rav Weizmann, and others, as a preferable way to keep Shemitah. When the major choice, the major explanation for that choice is because this is a positive Shemitah, but you cannot conceal that halachically it is not so simple. It does not appear in the Mishnah, it does not appear in the Rambam, it appears only in the Tosefta. And here too you have the questions, which are not, as before by the Heter Mechira. Also, practically, how do you really do it that it's really an Oitzer Beis Din and not just Ha'aroma? Because I'll tell you, it's sold in the supermarkets, so it looks the same. Now, in general, this is the choice they're making. Yes, please, Rav Nadi.
I just wanted to add, I think you were going there, but you talk about ideology. If I understand Rabbi White, and it's also coming from a religious line in the sense that, you know, Shemitah Mamlachti, that's what you call it.
Here's the book, okay?
That somehow a modern state and halacha can really function without, and really, really, you know, it reminded me a little bit about, you talked about milking cows on Shabbos, so, mm-hmm. You know, the early kibbutz adati that said, we don't want to use
non-Jewish
Shabbat. We want to have Abu Dhabi Greek, we want to, you know, so in a certain sense it's trying to go that direction also.
It's true.
But it ends up with a lot of coolers, but like
exactly.
Everything, right?
Like everything.
Right.
If you mention the non-Jews working on Shabbos, today in all the kibbutzim there are non-Jews. Most of the agricultural labor in Israel today is not Jewish. Most of them are from East Asia. The kibbutzim realize that, and therefore on Shabbos they also do the work. Things have changed, okay? Now, as I'm saying, the Otzer Beis Din is presented today as the best way to keep Shemitah by the ideologists of the Tzioni Dati rabbinic circles. But here too, we go back to the first question. Let's assume we'll solve all the problems if it's not being aroma and we distribute it properly and we'll agree upon it. It depends upon the corporation of the consumers. Because people have to decide they're going to buy it. Now ask me, why not buy it? What do you care? There's a very simple reason why people don't like to buy it. Because Oitzer Beis Din requires you to keep in your house Kedushas Shvi'is. When you eat the peros, you need Kedushas Shvi'is. Kedushas Shvi'is means you cannot throw in the garbage can at the end of the meal. It means you have to eat all the leftovers. You have to treat it the way we treat today, Truma Gedola and Truma Smeiser, which we take off. It's a pain in the neck, let's say in the following way. Is it a big pain in the neck? No. Well, is it easier just to avoid Shemitah? Yes, and here I'm describing to you what happened last Shemitah and what Rav Weizmann is trying to do this Shemitah. Tnuva last Shemitah, I'm talking about 2001, Tnuva has established an Arta Beis Din under Rav Weitman's guidance, and they distribute the potatoes as Arta Beis Din, and the Arta Beis Din lost 8 million shekel. It's not profitable. Why not? Because people did not buy it. And again, eventually, the only way to create a Shemitah for the farmers, which is successful and meaningful, depends really not upon the farmers, it depends upon the consumers. Returning us to the original question of who do I take into account? Do I think of him or do I think of myself? And therefore, I can tell you what Mechonot Torah V'aretz are trying to do now is to create, I'm sure you've heard of Ma'amin V'Zorea. You've heard of that? A few months before the evacuation, disengagement from Gush Katif, banks stopped giving loans to the farmers in Gush Katif in order to plant because they realized they won't be able to return the loans. And there was a trend there that you have to stick to the land and act as if it will not happen. In my own view, it's a non-Jewish approach to deny the possibility of such a thing happening. I think Yaakov Avinu is my role model when he prepared for Dora, Milchama, and Tfilah. He did prepare for the possibility it will happen in Milchama. Dora, he tried to avoid it, and Tfilah was because Baruch Hu should lead us to the best possible option. But they developed this whole idea of that if we'll just show everybody we don't believe it's going to happen, and we'll stick to the land, it won't happen. Kavyachol were forced the Kodesh Baruch Hu to force Arik Sharon not to do it. And when they had no money, they created a foundation called Ma'amin V'Zorea, where people were asked to donate 1,000 shekel, which they promised them to return if they can, and if not, it's a donation called Ma'amin V'Zorea, and on that Mishkal, they're trying now to create Ma'amin V'Ochel. And what they want to do is have a consumer club called in Israel Mo'adon Lekochot, meaning people will commit themselves by credit card to buy at least 50 shekels a month of Shemitah products and will be supplied in Merkazei Chaluka. In other words, this can only be possible if the Tzibur, Dati Lumi, or I don't know who, Charedich, would want to buy these products. And Rav Weitman himself has reached the conclusion that even though he supports the Otzar Beit Din as a more meaningful way to keep Shemitah, that it's not practical. And therefore, he's working strong on a better Heter Mechira, as I described to you before. Now, with your permission, I would like to talk about this Kedusha Shvi'is a little. I think it's a very fundamental thing. I want to tell you what I personally do. Last Shemitah, I made a big effort to buy Otzar Beit Din. And I'm not afraid of the Heter Mechira, of the Kedusha Shvi'is. Those who are afraid of Kedusha Shvi'is, of the pain in the neck, again, it goes back to their seeing Shemitah as an Isser. Maybe Chas V'Sholom, one peel of my cucumber or my tomato will go into the garbage can, I'll be over on the Isser of design of Shvi'is. But they're lacking something very fundamental, and I feel this is one of the most fundamental questions about Kashrus, and that is that their religious experience, I'm returning to what I said before, is of Isurim. The Torah has a lot of Isurim, and my Avodas Hashem is to avoid them. That's their conception of Kashrus. I can say that even in the Mitzvot Aseh, as brought up in a Brisker home, all the Chshoshes, but every time you have a Mitzvah, you Chshosh for all the Shittas, fundamentally lies in the foundation of your religious experience. You're always afraid not Yotzei Yedei Chayva. It's more an experience of Yiras Hashem. That's what I would say. You know, when you eat matzah, you're afraid that you didn't do it properly. And every mitzvah, once you do, you're afraid. And a lot of the halachas became isurim. But if we look at the basic idea of the Torah offers us kedusha, sanctity. And I would like to draw to the fact that while today, when we learn your Yoredei Chelek Aleph, we talk about isur v'heter. We live in a world of isurim v'heterim. Most of the laws of Taruvis are learned, appear in the Mishnayos, in the Gemaras, in the field of Trumas, Mishnayos and Trumas, and of Kachim. Machlokas Rabbi Yudel Chachon, Bamin Bamino, Vitbatalas, Dama Kachim, Shenisarev. And a lot of the Dinim are learned by Truma, and Truma and Kachim reflect the idea that he's Achilas Kodesh. that there's something positive about our religiosity, not only to avoid things, not only to be afraid of God, also to get close to God. And over the years, I think the shift from Kedusha to Isur v'Heter, it resembles, it reflects our shifting perhaps away from Avas Hashem to Yiras Hashem. When I personally feel, or if I can relate briefly to the panel yesterday about the meaning of Kashrus, I feel that even though the Torah gives us a lot of Isurim, these Isurim are not focused on the Isur per se, but they're trying to teach us how to approach these fields. And shortly I will say that regarding the two acts which are mutual to man and animal, which is food and sexuality, the Torah gives us a whole set of rules. But these set of rules, I would like to suggest, this is the way I explain it to myself, are not focused at refraining from them because they're negative, as there are thinkers who presented, but it's more aimed at teaching us how to approach it. If I mentioned before Issa V'Heter, I will mention here that in the world of Taras HaMishpacha, you can take the same approach. I'm sure many of you are familiar with Rav Eliashiv Knoll's Sefer in Taras HaMishpacha. It's been translated into English and hopefully it's in print now, so I hope it will be published very soon. You can use it here in America. I think one of the major reasons for the hysterical success of the book has sold in more than 10,000 copies in Israel, on a topic that has endless books about. It's because the language of his book is not to tell you what's usher. The language of the book is to teach you how to approach your marital life. The book is written to the man and woman together. It guides you how to live a family life. And I think that the halachas of the Isurim, they're not telling us not to eat, they're not telling us that sexuality is negative. They're teaching us how to practice our sexuality. Hilchos Yichud are not teaching us that women are bad or relationships are bad. It's teaching us how to establish that relationship in the proper mode, that we know the right borderlines, that we know how to refrain from sexual harassment, but to teach us how to practice it properly. And I would suggest that the major thing which is reflected in also the laws and kashrus and also Taras HaMishpacha, it's that Lashon on the Torah, it gives us Kedusha because Yivdalti etchem min ha'amim v'yivdaltem ben ha'beima Torah la'beima tmeah. When we approach these fields, we have to use the koach havdalah. We have to ask if it's mutar or asur. And the koach havdalah is what differentiates from man, between man and animal, and the Koyach Havdalah is what makes man close to God. The Tzelem Elokim in man is his Koyach Havdalah. And man in both fields is constantly choosing, constantly being human. And there are really three circles. I would like to relate briefly to Rabbi Sperber's kitchen, which apparently doesn't have two sinks, doesn't have two dishwashers, doesn't have two ovens. One field is there are things which are totally usur and totally mutter. There are animals you don't eat. There are women we cannot engage in a relationship. Then there's a way to approach it. Even those that are mutter, there's shechita, there's married, there's marriage, you have to choose. And most fundamental, in my eyes, is even after you're married, even after you have the product, in your kitchen you have laws. But the b'chalav is the major thing that differentiates between a Jewish kitchen and not Jewish kitchen, and Hilchos Taras HaMishpacha too. When the goal of the Torah is not only to refrain, the goal of the Torah is to sanctify, is to give us the koyach havdalah, which is mekadesh ourselves. And shmita, as a positive idea, belongs to that realm too. And unfortunately, in many good Jewish homes, shmita is a chashash iser, like tevel and like orla. And I feel that these attempts are very, very, I would say, courageously trying to create Shemitah as a positive idea. When I will end with adding that the idea of Shemitah is some social idea too. And there are voices today which are calling to reestablish V'ochlu Avyonei Amecha. One of the most amazing ideas that I've heard, the Mechon HaTorah V'Haaretz, is that they are planning, they are trying to distribute the oitzer basin food to the chesed amutot, which give it out to the needy. And the perishvis will go to Avyoni Amecho, Pshuta Kemashmo. And the idea of Shemitah Ksafim is re-examined in the modern economy. The commercial davar I exposed you to questions which maybe, let's finish and then all the questions, okay? Which are particular to Shemitah, but I think they do reflect broader questions regarding kashrut, which you may ask regarding other questions. And I'll repeat them, I'll summarize the question and this I'll conclude. First question is, what spectrum of parameters do I take into consideration? Myself, highest quality kosher, or do I think of other questions? Do I care? Is caring about the farmer's economic situation not a halacha consideration? Yes or no? Who am I responsible for? Here I would like to add another fundamental thing which I did not mention before. I think Rabbi Weiss referred to it yesterday. One of the reasons the badatim are super duper good echsherim, if we accept that definition, is because they only think of themselves. But what about thinking of the Jews who aren't badat Jews? Now, I don't know in America to what extent that comes into consideration. We have to realize in Eretz Yisrael, if I'm under Rabbanut and a hotel asks for a hechsher, and they're not going to be badat. If I don't give the hechsher, Jews will eat in that treifa hotel. Do I have to think about that too? I have to lower my standards for that. And that's a very fundamental question. So what does Rav Weissman again do in Tzuva? Two levels of kashrus, Mahadrin and not Mahadrin. But the modern Orthodox, I don't know if it exists in Eretz Yisrael, but the Tzioni Dati establishment, the Rabbanut, feels it's responsible to Klal Yisrael that they should eat kosher too. Or I'll ask you about Hetem Mishir, we talked about farmers. Do we have to offer a platform for non-firm farmers to keep Shemitah? Is that important? They don't care about it. Should we care about it? Those are questions which are asked out loud. We ask you, what's the Chumrah? And the last challenge which I see in this whole issue is our world of kashrus only of Isurim, which we avoid, or are we able to create a positive kashrus experience? Okay, thank you. Please, Rabbi Socher.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, I mean, if we take your argument for an ulterior purpose for kashrut, given that the strongest endorsement of allowing ideological consideration, at the moment kashrut isn't just kashrut, the kashrut has a larger goal, then inevitably you invite any ideological, and then it can work both ways. I mean, I have no doubt that I think the opposition, the Haredi opposition to have the material, have ideological elements as well. So then it becomes kind of much more complicated.
Of course, Please, any questions, remarks? Please, yeah.
Has there been any picking up of Kedushat Shvi from sort of the environmental community in Israel? Because I was in Israel the last round in Kedushat Shvi, and there was a conflict in place for a lot of that was able to sort of be funneled into the idea of conflict. I mean, it was a bit of a snowy endeavor, but at the same time, it was that's what we did. That's how we had to be took the conflict. So, I was wondering if there was any like maybe teaming up of.
From what I was told by Rabbi Yoshi,
types of places, right? Those types of things.
As I started my lecture, I'm not an expert on this. I teach Gemara Shavuot, but I am fortunate to work with Rabbi Yoshi Knoll, that I've mentioned his name before. Who, for me, he enriches my perspective of halacha because he has the most practical mind I know. Meaning, we went around a month ago to see the factory of Chasalat, how they clean it from the Tolaim. He knew every name of every bug that the agronomes were mentioning. And in every question I asked him, he knows the knowledge from the field in a scientific way. And he has mentioned to me that in Kfar Etzion, last Shemitah, they have done what you have mentioned. They have used the peels and the leftovers of Kedusha Shvi'ith. It's for recycling, for usage by the animals, and then they continue already all the years too. I mean, you can also, the environment can gain from halacha consideration. I am not aware if that is happening publicly. I just don't know if we'll catch up in other places. Please, Zev.
So I know that many poskim in America say like this, even modern Dutch poskim say that an Israelite has their material. why should we rely on Hentai Kosher? So
you know why you're going to get it here?
It becomes
sense?
A phenomenon that sure. American Jews don't buy Israeli products of Shemitah.
So let me share with you another paradox of kosherist, which I think was happened with the hechsher here of the food for this catered for this retreat. We have a tendency in our religious life in general, and in kosherist even more because it involves money, that is to go to the to the extreme. Meaning, I want to give my catering hechsher that everybody will buy from because I want to attract all possible customers. What do? I will go to the extreme, meaning if I'm the caterer of this retreat. Now, most people here are not makpid on yashin. But I know as a caterer, if I'm a shomer yashin, more people will use my services, I'll be a shomer yashin. Or let me say it another way. I talked about who's going to buy the products from the farmers who use hetter mechira. Now, the wheat mills in Israel all want a hechsher badat. Why? For simple reasons. They want the Haredi community to buy their products. Now, Haredi communities, you have to realize, I mentioned a lot tznuva before, in milk products and in bread products, they have large families and they have low incomes. They eat a lot of bread and they consume a lot of milk products. They are, in the percentage of the customers, the milk products and bread, larger than their percentage in the population. So all the wheat meals want a badat hechsher. None of them will agree to accept the wheat grown in Eretz Yisrael in the Shemitah year. Do you know what happens to that wheat? It's exported to Chutz La'aretz. Meaning, we cannot fool ourselves that what we decide is only us. Meaning, now, if I'll continue with this, it means that what I decide really depends upon others. Now, I can tell you what's happening in the kibbutzim. Kibbutzim Tzurim. I eat in the dining room every day. They're caterers. They have the so-called eruach, kafri. It's cheap if you want to come. It's not too fancy also. This hotel is much nicer. Now, the kibbutz has fields. I'm going back to Masorot Yitzchak, but I'll make it much more harder. The kibbutz has fields. They're going to work based upon Hetzer Mechira. For themselves, they're going to eat Hetzer Mechira too. But if their catering will be Hetzer Mechira, they're going to lose a lot of customers. Now, what are they supposed to do? From what I know, they did not make up their minds yet. Okay. But it's a real dilemma. No, it's a real dilemma. Because in kosherism, you always go furthermore. I told Rabbi Berman, I think, before, Rabbi Weiss, how Ben-Gurion realized this, that some people always look behind their shoulder. What does the other guy say? So when they had the Gius Banot conflict in Israel, 1952, Ben-Gurion said, who's the one everybody's afraid of? Let's go talk to him directly. I'll solve all the issues. They told him it's the Briskerov. Briskerov refused to meet him. And therefore, the conflict was never resolved. But when it comes to money, to kashrus, this is what we like to do. Now, do we live up to our true ideology? That's the question. Yes, Rabbi Berman.
First of all, you have to call up on this presentation, which are absolutely wonderful.
Thank
and
you.
The insight about Kedusha Shviyas is just really mind-blowing, just wonderful. As I think about it right now, you sort of set it up in alternatives as sort of a focus on Isser or a focus on Kedusha. And in our experience of that in other areas,
mm-hmm.
you know, as even in Hilchos Shabbos and certainly in Hilchos Nida as well, it's not so much setting up the opposition of the two as it is setting up the balance between the two. That is, as in Shabbos, so the Yisurim create a framework, and within that framework, the discovery of Kedusha becomes possible and becomes infinitely more meaningful. So the same thing with regard to the Sunita. So, you know, the use of Isser as creating boundaries is nevertheless significant. So it's not, just as a question of emphasis, I think it's necessary to be careful not to sort of minimize the dimension of Isser entirely in favor of Kedusha, as much as to recognize the limitations of the role of Isser as establishing the boundaries, which then creates the framework within which the Kedusha can be discovered.
I accept. Can I talk a little Zionism? Is that good?
Yes.
I talked about trying to create a meaningful experience. So I really feel that Mitzvot Atlius Ba'aretz, which you do not practice here, they are aimed at that goal. Now, how will I meet Shemitah besides in the supermarket? I will meet Shemitah also because I have a backyard, and we have fruit trees in our backyard. And I can tell you the day I planted the trees, I took my kids out, we planted the trees, we have clementinos, apples, dates, nuts, two more. And I opened Chamesh Drashot, written by my grandfather, the Rav Zecher Tzadik Livracha, where he mentions there that one of Reb Chaim Brisker's big dreams was to move to Eretz Yisrael and plant trees in Reb Chaim Mitzvah Satlius Baretz. So I read him the story, and together we said, Mi Yigale Ofar Meinecha, Arzei de Reb Chaim, that your great-grandchildren are zoiche to fulfill your great dream. I invite all of you to join my dream. Have a good day.